Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in church this morning. Have a great time, guys, in the youth. Really good to be in church and so good for us to get time hearing what Chris and Emma are going to be doing. We love you guys so much. And this is church family, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And that's going to touch a bit on what I'm hopefully going to speak about this morning. So, yeah, it's so good to be in church. Who was in church last week? Just a quick wave. Hands down, if you weren't here last week, just a little wave. This is not, I'm not shaming people, I'm just saying. So from a, this is not a shame thing at all. So we started a new preaching series last week, and Ian kicked off the preaching series and did an absolutely fantastic job. And the reason I'm just asking if you weren't in church last week, I'm just encouraging you, go back and listen to it, because it was a great start to the preaching series. It's well worth going to listen to. We're starting this new preaching series where we're looking at the life of Moses, and we're going to primarily be using the book of Exodus on that journey. So that's what we're going to continue on with today. But what Ian touched on last week, he really gave us a bit of the background. How did the people of Israel come to be in Egypt? What was the background behind it? What were the promises that they were carrying? Who were these people? How did they get where they got to? And what happened to them? And then he looked at very much the background, and then he looked at the baby. So Moses and all the situation around his birth. So he looked at chapters 1 and into chapter 2. Just incredible things about these amazing heroes of faith, these incredible women that were around Moses' birth that just, you know, made it so that he wasn't killed, really. I mean, you start with the midwives, you get onto his mother, you get onto his sister, Pharaoh's daughter, these incredible women of faith who were incredibly courageous. I really encourage you, go back, listen to what Ian said about the background and about the baby. And so what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be moving on through into the next part of the story of Moses. But before we do that, what I want to do is just mention, as Steve's already mentioned, it's our small group sign-up Sunday. What that means is every year here, what we do is we encourage people to review where they're going to connect in for small groups every 6 months. And this is the start of the new season. So what small group will you commit to for the next 6 months? And just to say, particularly if you're new with us here, just to mention a bit about small groups and how vitally important they are. It's a great privilege and a blessing to gather together like this on a Sunday. It's great, isn't it, that we get together to worship and connect with each other. But the great thing with small groups is it gives us that opportunity to be a little bit more relational. We're not having to rush off to the next thing, particularly in this environment, packing everything down. We're getting those time in the group where we're carving out to really study the Word of God together, to ask ourselves, well, what is the Word of God saying and what are we going to do about it? To build relationship and connect with one another. And small groups is a great place to build a sense of belonging. So if you want that sort of sense of belonging and connection and delving deeper in the Word, I encourage you, right from the off, get in a small group, because that's where the good stuff happens. And so what I'm going to do today as we go through is I'm going to put out some questions from the Scripture that we are going to look through. And I'm not going to answer a lot of them, because what I want to do is I want to provoke your thinking, for you to think for yourself, for you to pray and reflect for yourself, for you to go away and read the Scripture for yourself, and then ideally to get together with other Christians and say, what did you make of this? And how can I apply it to my lives? So we're going to ask a whole bunch of questions. I'll give you some answers, but I'm not going to do all the work for you today. You're going to have to do some yourself. So the first question that I would like to kick off with is, what do you think God is like? I want you to ponder on that for a moment. What do you think God is like? And what's that based on? Where are you getting that information from? How are you piecing the jigsaw together? How are you piecing together in your mind and in your experience who God is and what he's like? And does our view of God match up with the description we get in the Bible? Does it match up? Does how we view God, can we root that in Scripture, our view of God? And if we can't, is there a problem with that? Is that dangerous? Are we creating ourselves problems by having a view of God that's not based on the reality of God's word? When he's told us what he's like, if we've got a view of him that's different to what we read in the Bible, are we setting ourselves up for some problems? If so, what are those problems? There's so many questions coming at you now. I hope you're making notes. Literally no one is. It's fine, there'll be small group notes. It'll be all right. Oh, thanks very much, yeah. A question for us to consider: do we make God in our image and forget that we've been made in his image? And that is the way around that it needs to be. So what we're going to do today is we kick into Exodus chapter 3. The title of the message today is the introduction. This is not the introduction to the preaching series, that was last week. This is the introduction. This is God introducing himself to Moses through what is known as the burning bush account. So that's what we're going to have a look at today. Moses gets to meet God, and God tells Moses very clearly, literally, this is who I am. This is who I am. So if you've got your Bible with you, let's have a look at Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10. I'm going to start in the NIV. There's some other translations I'm going to look at for some of the other verses as we go, and hopefully that will make sense as we go. So we kick off. Exodus 3, 1 through to 10 says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I just want to pause for a moment there, and I want to encourage you to think about this account in your mind's eye. What is actually happening in this little few verses that we've just read together? So the thing that really grabbed my attention right from the off is Moses is on his own path. Moses is going somewhere. He's leading his sheep somewhere. He's on a path. And what it says is that Moses saw something. He saw this bush that's on fire, but it's not on his path. He has to go over to look at it. And that really grabbed my attention. This is not something where Moses is going about his daily business and God has just, wham, you can't go any further. You have to listen to me. It's not like that at all. God is doing something and Moses has to go over to see what God is doing. And I just really want to emphasize that point by reading those couple of verses, 3 and 4, again in two different translations, to really emphasize this point that God is doing something off of Moses' path. Moses has to go over to see what God is doing. So the New King James Version said this, verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So he's going in one direction and he turns aside to go see what God is doing. Verse 4 then says, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So Moses is on his journey. God is doing something off his path. Moses goes out of his way to go see what's happening. Let's just really emphasize it, the New Living Translation. Verse 3, this is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. So this is the thing that really got my attention, was God is doing something that is not particularly on Moses' path. God is doing something. Moses recognizes that God is doing something, and he goes over, he crosses over to see what God is doing. When he does that, God does more. Does that make sense? God is doing something over here. Moses goes to take a look. Then God does even more stuff. And I just want us to start thinking in that way. And a really interesting question for us to apply to our own lives in our small groups will be, what is God doing at the moment? That's a good question, right? That would be a good question to discuss with other Christians in a small group setting, wouldn't it? Thank you. I thought it was a really good question and there'd be more response, but okay, tough crowd this morning. Okay, so I think that's a really good question to discuss with other Christians. What is God doing at the moment? What is God doing in our nation at the moment? What's God doing in our church at the moment? What's God doing in our lives at the moment? I think these are really good questions to talk about with other Christians. And then the follow-up question, okay, what's God doing? Well, what am I going to do about it then? Even if it's not on my particular path, am I going to go over? Am I going to cross over to see what God is doing or not? So I would encourage you, guys, this is a good question to get into a small group and have a discussion on. Amen. Amen. What is God doing? And what are we going to do about it? Guys, are you asleep this morning? That was good preaching right there. What is going on? Goodness me. Anyway, let's go back to the passage and see if that inspires more response in you. Okay. Thank you, mate. Right, verse 5. This is God speaking now to Moses. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, of them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So what happens? We have Moses is going one way, God is doing something, Moses goes to see what God is doing, God does more. The more that God does is he introduces himself to Moses. He explains to Moses exactly who he is. And what we see here very clearly is that God is a holy God. That he is separate, he is special, he's high and lifted up. There's no one else like him. He is unique in all his ways. There is no one like God. And God is making that very clear in this introduction. There is no one like God. I am God and you are not. That is what God is saying here. I am God, you are not God. So that's the first thing that we see is that he is a holy God. And this is something that is repeated through this series that we're going to be looking at. That he is separate, he's holy, he's high and lifted up. We also see from this that he's the God of the generations. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. Look around you, there's different generations in this room. He is the God of generations. And that's starting to make us feel that maybe he's a little bit more personal as well and connected and aware of what's going on in the lives of people. But then he really, really confirms it. He says that he is the God who is of his people and he's concerned of their suffering. He is the God who sees the suffering of his people in Egypt and he is concerned about their plight and their suffering. So what we see from this introduction of God is given to Moses is that yes, he is a holy God, but he is also a personal God. He is interested in what is going on. And so how do we then approach a holy God? How do we approach a holy God and live our lives in awe and reverence that is correct before a holy God, but also understand that he loves us, he's intimate, and he's interested in that when we're going through times of suffering? How do we hold both of those things together? How do we deal with that, particularly if we're in a time of suffering? That feels like a good thing to talk about in a small group. Amen. Amen. That feels like a really good thing to talk about within small group, doesn't it? To understand how do we live our lives in reverence and awe to our holy God, but also understand that he loves us and that he is with us in our times of suffering. That would be a great thing to talk about in a small group. Let's go back to the passage. God continues. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land and into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and I can't say these things. Anyway, all these different clans that are there. Anyway, so God continues to show his character. What he shows here is that he's the God of promise. He's the God of deliverance and rescue and the God of promise. And this is a really great thing. This would be such a good thing to discuss in a small group setting. What are the promises of God to his people? That would be a really good question to understand and to just discuss in a small group setting. What are the promises of God to his people? And this is one that I'm actually going to pause on and give you an answer to, because there is a very good answer to this. And we see the answer right at the start of verse 8, where he says this, I have come down to rescue them. What does that sound like? The promise of God made to his people is made complete in God coming down to rescue us from sin and death. The promise of God to his people is made complete in him coming down, being God Emmanuel, God with us, close to us, in the work of Jesus, his son. That is the promise of God to his people that is made complete where sin and death is triumphed over and the ultimate freedom is achieved. That's good news, right? That's good news that we know that God himself crosses over, he comes and steps out of heaven into our mess to rescue us. So when we read right back in Exodus, I have come down to rescue my people. That's so exciting, isn't it? I mean, the Exodus story the story of redemption and God redeeming his people is an incredibly beautiful, powerful, magnificent, wonderful story, but it is a foreshadowing of something even better. Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us. God stepped out of heaven. He crossed over to be with us. In Philippians 2, 5-8, it says this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. Jesus crossed over from heaven to earth. He comes down to rescue his people. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the fulfillment of all the promises. They are all found their fulfillment in Jesus. So going back to the passage, just for the last couple of verses. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. That's powerful, isn't it? So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That's insane, isn't it? For Moses to be talking to God, or God to be talking to Moses, and God says to Moses, you now go, and you bring my people out of slavery. Wow, that's a commission, isn't it? You go and bring my people out of slavery. God is the God of purpose, that he gives us great purpose for our lives. He's given Moses great purpose. Moses is going to be a man who is going to be instrumental. He's going to be God's man in bringing God's people out of slavery and into freedom. This is what God does. He calls us into our purpose. Just an amazing piece of scripture, this. I really want to encourage all of you to go away and read this for yourselves and to just really spend some time praying over it and seeing how God will speak to you through this scripture, because there's so many layers to it and it's so incredible. God introducing himself to Moses and telling him who he is and what he's going to do. So what is our view of God? Is it in line with what scripture says? Do we know that he is a holy God and we need to be in complete awe of him and his majesty? Do we know that he's close and he's intimate and he cares about our suffering, that it's both things that come together? How do we see God? Does it matter how we see God? Does it matter if we've got a different image of God at all? What harm could that do us? Really important question I'd love us all to consider. Oh, there goes the door. Oh, just a little bang. I was expecting a big one. A really important question I'd love us to consider is, what is God doing in our time? What is God doing? We might all be on our own path going, yeah, there's stuff happening here and there, but it's not really affecting me. It's not any of my business. There's stuff going on in young people. There's stuff going on in different things, in schools and stuff. That's not really for me. But what is God doing? Because if God is doing something, even if it's not on the journey we're on, it's worth going to take a look, isn't it? Going to take a look and go, oh, wait, God is actually doing something here. Therefore, I'm going to go and have a look and see what he's doing. And then as we do that, what you can expect to happen is, you're going to understand a little bit more of who God is and his character. So when we go and see what God is doing, we understand a little bit more about who God is and what he does and his character. So once again, guys, I want to encourage you to read that scripture for yourself this week. But even more so, I encourage you, get in a small group, talk through some of these questions and see the difference it can make when you're encouraging each other along together. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we come before you now and we just acknowledge that you are holy. That's who you are. Lord, we're sorry for the times when we have not been in awe of you. We're sorry for the times we have not approached you with the sense of reverence that we should have. Yeah, Lord God, would you increase our sense of awe of you, Lord God? Thank you that you are with us, that you are close and personal. And you're with us in times of struggle, and you love us. Give us eyes to see what you are doing in our time, and give us the courage to go over, to cross over, to see what you're doing. And as we do that, Lord, please reveal more of yourself to us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.